Let's begin at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start, as someone famously remarked. So, Psalm 100 is on page 604 if you've got the church Bibles. Psalm 100, let's begin at verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout. That means give it up, cheer. Hebrew is a language which has been brought back. And so you can see on the internet people who speak Hebrew nowadays and how they translate it. And they use this word that Psalm 1 begins with, and they say, give it up, cheer, applaud. The word itself comes from something that means to deform, to break, to spoil in some way. And figuratively, it's talking about making so much noise that you're bending the ear of the people listening. So that's what it means. Shout for joy to the Lord. To the Lord. And the word in our Bibles is printed Lord. I don't know if you'd noticed, it's printed Lord with capital letters. And whenever that is printed that way, it tells us that it's translating the name of God. And the name of God, we struggle to pronounce. And there's a reason we struggle to pronounce it. It's because ever since it was written down thousands of years ago in the Bible, people have said, oh, that's the name of God. We don't want to take the name of the Lord in vain, because that's one of the commandments. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. So we don't really want to pronounce it in case we get it wrong and it's disrespectful. And so what we'll say is whenever it says that name, we're going to say the Lord. Well, we know what we mean, but that way we haven't actually said the name and we haven't said it badly and we haven't been disrespectful and we haven't broken the commandment. And we sort of think that the word was Yahweh. And that's a word in one of the songs that we just sang. Yahweh being the name of God. Some people have pronounced it in English as Jehovah. But whenever you see it in the Bible as the Lord, that's what it means. And it comes from that time when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, the bush that was burning but never actually seemed to get burnt. And he said, I am who I am. And so the French, for example, they don't say the Lord. They translate it as the eternal, the one who is and was and ever shall be. Yahweh, the Lord. And when we say hallelujah, the Yah bit means Yahweh. Hallelujah, hallel means to praise. Hallelujah is everybody praise. And Yah is short for Yahweh. Praise the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in church and I grew up with different translations of this psalm. We see that Psalm 98 says, let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. And there's a sense in the Psalms, in lots of the Psalms, not just in this Psalm 100, that the whole of creation is to praise God. The whole of creation is to shout for joy to the Lord. And I think sometimes we look at things too narrowly when we just look at it and say, well, that's for Christians to do, or it's only for God's people. This is talking about all the earth should be shouting. And it's not just the nation of Israel. It's everybody and everything and every creature. When we get to the end of the book of Psalms, Psalm 150 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord. Well, that's what we're supposed to do, but why? But why and how? Why should we shout for joy to the Lord? Well, I guess we can go back to the very beginning, and actually, if you look on the very beginning at the top of where it says Psalm 100, it says, a psalm for giving grateful praise. A psalm for giving grateful praise. A psalm for thanksgiving. And we can see the word thanksgiving in the psalm as well. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And we can see that we're told to give thanks. It's very interesting when you get into the psalms. Andy mentioned, everybody seems to have a different theory about how all these psalms hang together and which sort of psalms they are, and whether this is this sort of a psalm or that sort of a psalm or the other sort of a psalm. But this one tells us it's for giving grateful praise, and some people think that it might have been a psalm that they used when they were giving a thank offering. And there's a lot of offerings listed out that the people of Israel were supposed to give in earlier in the Bible, in Leviticus, and so on. And one of the offerings was a thank offering, and perhaps when they were doing that thank offering, this psalm was composed to be sung then. And I was looking at a Jewish commentary on Psalm 100, and it said, when the Messiah comes, there will only be one offering left for us to do, and that will be this thanksgiving offering. So, if you remember back, those of you with very long memories, back to, was it 2016? Seems like ages ago. We had a church motto and it was plastered up all over the place. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So even though we have things that we would really like God to get on and do and sort out for us, because, you know, that's what God's there for, isn't it? To sort out our issues. We should bring everything to him in prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So we are to shout for joy to the Lord because we are thankful. I have been challenged, I've shared this with a number of people, to when my head hits the pillow, to think of three things that I'm grateful for, three things that I'm thankful about. And sometimes it's very difficult to, I can easily think of three things, and other times I'm thinking, oh, I said that yesterday. But three things that I can be thankful for. And then I've been challenged further by something I read in The Purpose Driven Life, actually, and it was a quote. And it was a quote from somebody who said, you know, I don't think our churches are going to grow if we just spend all our time grumbling about what's going wrong in the church and so in the church, and they ought to do this and this isn't right in the church. We ought to be thankful every day for our church. And so I have a fourth thing. I praise God for three things I'm grateful for, and I think of something about this church where God has put me that I'm thankful for. And I'd encourage you to do that so that we may grow. Shout for joy to the Lord because we are thankful. And there's another reason we can shout for joy to the Lord. It is told to us at the end of the psalm. The Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's why we should enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues. Shout for joy to the Lord because he is good and loving and faithful. Psalm 1 that we started this series with encourages us to meditate on God's law. Meditate on it day and night. And sometimes when we meditate and we just chew over the words in the Psalms, we see different patterns and we see how it all was put together. And there are different ways of doing it. I'm not saying that one way is better than another. I'm just saying sometimes you look at it and something really comes out as helpful. There are seven commands in this psalm.
seven verbs. We are to shout, we are to worship, we are to come, we are to know, we are to enter, we are to give thanks, and we are to praise. And sometimes when there's an odd number, you can arrange them and see what the thing is in the middle. You'll see that come before him with joyful songs and enter his gates with thanksgiving. They're similar sorts of verbs. And so that makes us think that there might be a pattern here. Shouting and praising might go together. Worshipping and giving thanks might go together. And then that means the middle one is kind of a focus of what this psalm is about. And the focus is on knowing that the Lord is God. Know that Yahweh is God. He is God. There's a part of the Bible that you may well have heard of that says, "Be still and know that I am God." This psalm seems to say, "Be noisy and know that I am God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Sing and know that the Lord is God. Shout for joy to the Lord because he is God. He is God. And we are his people." Psalms is not in a vacuum. It's in the rest of God's dealing with humanity. So Psalms is connected back, particularly to the books of Moses. You may notice that there's some places in the Psalms it will tell you that we're in a book of the Psalms. This happens to be book 4 of the Psalms. There are 5 books of the Psalms. And there are 5 books of Moses that the Bible begins with. And going back to Exodus chapter 19, we can read that God said to the people of Israel, they got out into the desert, he rescued them from Egypt, got out to the desert, and at the beginning of the 3rd month that they were out in the desert, they were by Mount Sinai. And God spoke to Moses and gave a message to the people, "I brought you to myself. I have made you into a kingdom of priests. I am making you into a holy nation. You are my treasured possession." And so the psalmist picks up this thought from way back in Exodus and says, we are his people, the people that he brought out of Egypt, the people that he is going to make into a holy nation. And the New Testament picks it up as well. So this psalm's in a way connected to 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter deliberately, I think, quotes from what was said to the people of Israel in the desert in Sinai and says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation belonging to God, God's special possession." And he echoes that, and he's deliberately saying that, even though he's writing to some people who were not Jewish, who were not brought up in that tradition. And he said, "But you are God's people now, because he has reached out, he has got you, equivalent from out of Egypt. He has brought you to be a chosen people." That is a fantastic thing. And he says it in 4 different ways, and I could go on about those 4 different ways and how they're connected to the 4 Gospels, but I'm going to hold myself back. You can talk to me about that afterwards. But shout for the joy to the Lord, because we are his people. It is something very special and something to rejoice about. And then you might expect, since my name is John Shepherd, that I will bring out the fact that we are the sheep of his pasture. I have shown you a picture which I found on the internet. I typed in that I wanted a picture of a Middle Eastern sheep and shepherd and pasture. And I don't know if you realise, because a lot of you will know that Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures." You might think, you know, that's rather nice, you know, that he makes me lie down, that's the good thing. Green pastures. Well, every pasture you've probably ever seen is green. But look at this one. He's brown. I wouldn't even call it a pasture. And there's the shepherd, and you can see they've all got their heads down. They're eating something. And so it's rather special that he leads us into green pastures. That is special. We are the sheep of his pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We are the sheep of his pasture. And especially for us, we rejoice that Jesus is our good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he also said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And that's Jesus saying it's not just for some people who happen to have been born of Jewish parents that this promise comes. This is for all the sheep that he is going to bring into his flock. All of those he's going to rescue. And that includes the vast majority of us, of course. Jesus is our good shepherd. And Jesus, being the shepherd, was an answer to a prayer of Moses. Moses had said, may the Lord appoint someone over this community so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. He was getting towards the end of his days, and that was his desire, and he was thinking ahead about the people that he'd been looking after for so long. So it was a fulfillment of that, a fulfillment of other prophecies. Matthew tells us about, reminds us that there's a prophecy in Micah, a ruler who will shepherd. There was a prophecy in Ezekiel about a good shepherd who would look after the people. I will place over them one shepherd. So we shout for joy to the Lord because Jesus is our good shepherd. And now I want to talk about what if we don't feel like we have any joy. We've tried to be thankful, we've tried to remember that we are his people and that he is our shepherd. And how can we actually be joyful? How can we shout for joy? 1 Peter, one of my favourite books, talks about joy being given to us because God the Father gives us joy. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and an inheritance. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And he's talking to people who were going through hard times. People who you might have thought didn't have much to rejoice about. But he says, you do. You greatly rejoice. You are filled with a joy that you just can't sort of describe, really. It's a glorious joy. It's a joy that, well, it comes from God. That's the only way to describe it. Other parts of the Bible talk about joy coming from Jesus. When Jesus was on earth, he said, I have told you this, he said to his disciples, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. You will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Our joy comes from Jesus. And Paul writes to the Romans and says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We're told that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. So the Father gives us joy. Jesus gives us joy. The Holy Spirit gives us joy. And I found this little quote, and it just reminds me of some of the quotes that Wayne has. And Wayne, you might like this one. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. We are happy when things work out nicely. We are happy when circumstances are good. But we can have joy when things don't work out right. When circumstances are bad, we can have joy because Jesus gives us joy. In the Old Testament, there's a famous passage from Habakkuk. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, Though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Saviour. The Lord makes us glad. Psalm 92 says, "You make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done." And I remember one time in my life when I was feeling very down. I had just split up with a girlfriend and it was a bad black period in my life. And as I was driving home from work down a lane that I always drove home that way, it was just the sun came through. I just caught on to some beautiful roses that just happened to be on that little lane. It wasn't a garden. It was all just how God had made it grow. And just the beauty of it cheered me up. You make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. So we shout for joy to the Lord because he gives us joy. He gives us joy. And sometimes he gives us joy when we are in a very bad place, when we are sorrowing, when we are struggling, when we are not well, when people that we love are not well or have even died. He gives us joy. He turns our sorrow into joy. And that's that lovely prophecy in Isaiah that Jesus went into the temple, into the synagogue rather, and said, "This applies to me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." So even though we go through despairing times, mourning times, a time of feeling like dust and ashes, he can even turn that into joy so that we can shout for joy because he turns our sorrow into joy. So I could probably go on all morning just about that part of verse 1. Lots of reasons that we should shout for joy to the Lord. I would encourage you to meditate on this psalm. There's a lot more in it. I'm sure that you'll be blessed if you do it. Or you may like to have a look at Psalm 66. Psalm 66 is a little bit longer, but it starts in exactly the same way. It says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." And then it goes into a bit more detail about why the psalmist thought we should shout for joy. So I would recommend that, to just meditate, just chew over the words of a psalm. See what patterns are in it, see what it teaches you, see what it challenges you about. There are so many things, because we are thankful, because he is good and loving and faithful, because he is God. Shout for joy to the Lord because we are his people. Because Jesus is our good shepherd. Because he gives us joy. And even he turns our sorrow into joy.